Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Ron.
Well, and welcome in. I said both of those at the same time. From where we are to where you are, this is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Appreciate you guys, as always, for joining us. I'm your host, Blake, joined by Tyler and Rob. It is the second round of the playoffs, boys. How are we feeling?
Oh, we're feeling good. I love the new word you invented. I think you should. That makes it in the lexicon from here on out. I love it.
Yeah, we're 17 podcasts in this year, and not a single intro has been said correctly.
That's not true.
No, I think one went really well.
One went correctly? Was that one where Blake was gone?
No.
I've said several correctly the last several weeks in a row. I'm on a streak, baby.
Yeah, he's on something, yes. I missed last week, so I don't know how he did.
On something is very true.
There you go. All right, yeah. Week 16 this week for the NFL season. It's going to be our second round of the playoff here in the Bag Fantasy League. You know, sucks for all those who lost last week, maybe, you know, historical chokers in the first round of the playoffs. It just, you know, it's not great when you choke all the time immediately.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nate lost in the playoffs?
What?
No, I didn't say any names. I didn't say any names.
He just said historical choker.
Idiot. Oh, what a loser. Good.
What a loser. Good.
All right. This week we've got, I don't have an over-under for us this week, so we can skip that section, but we'll still recap any bets that we have between the three of us. Otherwise, we're going to hit news and notes, some transactions from the last week, and then go through our matchups, the two matchups that we care about. That's all I got, guys. I mean, we can get into El Newso.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right, so yeah, this new section this week is going to be a little bit more of a kind of an open forum discussion kind of mode, because for those just a little bit peek behind the scenes here, usually I travel for work during the week and I have a series I go throughout the week and prepare for the podcast. This week, because of the weather, which we're going to be talking about a lot as we go through this podcast, my travel schedule was adjusted and I flew home today, so I had almost no time to prep any notes except for what I jotted down yesterday. So news note number one for news wise is very cold across the country. It's a huge cold wave across basically all of the United States. So keep an eye out for any football matchup that takes place outdoors that's basically north of the Florida Panhandle. It's going to be fucking cold.
Yeah. And I believe I'm remembering this correctly, that the cold doesn't impact football until you get like single digits. The snow outside of like, you know, passing game really doesn't impact it a ton. Rain doesn't impact it a ton. It's the wind that is really going to matter. So but this could be a really rough week for pass catchers. So, you know, especially here in the Midwest. So watch out for that.
Yeah, the Midwest and the Northeast for sure. I mean, basically from what I was seeing north of like Tennessee, if you just draw a line across the country, north of Tennessee, anywhere north there, you're going to have wind chills that are single digits or below zero. So just keep your eyes out.
Well, that and the main slate this week is on Saturday. 11 games on Saturday, only 3 on Sunday. So that's another one to watch out for. You know, if you're looking at weather stuff or, you know, what's the weather going to be in for the Miami game or whatever, who knows where that's at. You might want to check what day it is, because it's more than likely on Saturday.
Yeah. Let's see. Second bit of news. We had a quarterback switch up in Indianapolis. Matt Ryan benched after losing the somehow topped himself in giving up the greatest comebacks in NFL history.
Right.
But losing his starting quarterback position to Nick Foles, they're going over that other guy. I forget his name, the rookie.
Oh, yeah. And he wasn't good when he was in. I mean, this is really bad. I mean, this is pretty much play the song for the death knell song for Matt Ryan's career. It's over and it goes out with a whimper.
Well, I'll tell you what it goes out with, Rob.
A butt blast. That's about how he's played this year. He got that second chance when Saturday took over and did not make the most of it. And like Blake said, literally a 33-point lead, most ever in the NFL, and blew it because he couldn't move the ball.
Yeah, that was a... God, it makes me glad that I have never in my life thought about being a Colts fan. I mean, sticking with a little bit of quarterback news, I assume that the Desmond Ridder experiment is going to continue into its second week in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because Mariota had surgery after Ridder announced the starter. So,
yeah, I mean, that's interesting to say the least for any offensive weapon in Atlanta, because last week looked uninspired as far as quarterback play went.
Yeah, the game plan really didn't change much. They still were run heavy, even though they were down. And I believe they had the most snaps down double digits. And maybe that's not true with Minnesota, but they were down and down big most of the game. And they still pounded the rock and, you know, did the same thing they've done all year.
Yeah. Let's see, Ryan Tannehill, ankle injury, went out last week in, I think, the first half, got it wrapped up, and then came back in and finished the game. As last I saw, he was questionable, or no, he's ruled out, actually, wasn't he, this afternoon?
Yeah, high ankle sprain, so yep. It's one of those adrenaline things that he was able to finish. So
going to be Malik Willis, most likely starting for Tennessee against Houston.
Fire up your Yetis. It's for sure Yeti weekend with the cold and the blizzard. Last time Tennessee played Houston, it was also with Malik Willis. Malik Willis only threw the ball 10 times, and Derrick Henry had over 200 yards.
Yeah. Subscribe, please.
Yeah. Doesn't he have like four or three in a row against Houston that are like ungodly numbers?
Yeah, it's something crazy. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, it's real bad.
I want to say that the one earlier was his third 200-plus in a row against this team. So,
Tyler looks that up. The last note that I have written down is probably the most devastating for fantasy owners across the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts sprains his shoulder at the end of last week's game. He is out for this week. Most like, I think it's like probably like, what would you put it? Clock at an 85% chance that he's not playing this week. They haven't officially ruled him out, but it looks like Gardner Minshew is going to be starter this week, and he might come back next week, depending on how the wins and losses go for playoff implications. But for sure, he's probably out for your fantasy lifetime this year.
Yeah, it's super gross. It's gross in all formats. I mean, you know, it's gross if you went into this playoffs in a redraft and like, hey, I can get rid of a quarterback and trade him for some stuff and be okay because I got Jalen Hurts. Nope. See ya. Or in Dynasty, you might have been riding that coattail all year and you're ready for the playoffs. You're the number one team. And then nope. See ya. So, yeah, it's bad news bears all the way around.
And if... I believe it's if Philly wins this week or Minnesota loses, they clinch the one seed. And if that happens, expect Jalen Hurts to be done for fantasy purposes.
Oh, yeah. Because why would you endanger if you've got the one seed sown?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if he doesn't play this week, Dallas has to win to give you any idea that he might play next week.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about Gardner Minshew? You know, he hasn't played as like the last starting snap he took was the last game of the last regular season.
Yeah.
He was, you know, the starter in Jacksonville for that year and was extremely like serviceable. Is he a streamable candidate for you guys in any redraft league this week?
I mean, for me, he is because of who he's playing. You know, you look at Dallas and you're like, oh, God, Dallas is a tough matchup to play against. They haven't been in the last several weeks, mostly because they just keep losing personnel on defense. Plus, now they've got an illness that's ravaging its way through the locker room. There's all kinds of people that have been sick. I don't feel good about where Dallas is defensively. You know, their linebacker gets a shoulder injury. They've lost a couple corners. It's just, it's not good. And I'm not worried about what Dallas was in the middle of the season, which was this awesome defense is just going to wreck you. They're not that anymore.
Yeah, the only person I'm really concerned about for the Eagles is Devonta Smith. This, I may be totally misremembering this, but I believe because he is so skinny, he really gets cold real fast. And I believe he's had trouble in cold weather games up to this point. So, and I don't know where the game is. Is it in Philly?
It's at Dallas.
It's at Dallas. And they'll close it up. Okay. So it'll be 70 degrees.
I'm not concerned about starting any of my Philly guys.
Yeah, except Dallas Goedert was activated. I think he was back to practice and, you know, on the 52-man roster, 53, whatever it is, all that jazz. So he should be playing this week.
He will play.
That might downgrade your Devonta Smith slightly.
And the last time that Minshew played with Goddard, Goddard had 106 yards and like seven grabs and two touchdowns. So he might be a sneaky play if you still got him.
All right, that's all. Like I said, that's all the notes I had. Any other injuries that you guys think that we should hit on, or Tyler, did you get the Yeti information that we requested?
Yeah. So in 2021, he didn't play the Houston either time because it was after he got hurt. But starting at the last game in 2019, that's a whole lot of barking.
It's all the way upstairs. I don't know why my microphones pick her up so much.
Because she's a loud ass dog.
But starting in week 17, will you mute? Jesus Christ, get it together. We're fucking podcasting here, and you can't fucking goddamn mic. Even though you're
unmuted, I muted it, and you're still yelling at me. I'm gonna keep it unmuted, and this is gonna be Mira.
Yeah, that's a shame that Blake got muted there.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Right in the middle of a sentence. So as I was saying, week 17 of 2019, he was 32 for 211 and 3 touchdowns.
Jeez.
2020 in week 6 and 17, 22 for 212 and 2.
Okay.
And 34 for 250 and 2. And earlier this year with Malik Willis, 32 for 219 and 2.
So he's got like 4 in a row.
Yeah, so
that he's played.
If you're putting in a dumb boy parlay, in fact, that's the next thing I'm going to look up. What are the odds of Derrick Henry 2+ touchdowns this week?
And 200 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably pretty good. If you've got him on your fantasy team, congrats. You're in a good spot to be able to take advantage of that and get a 40 burger from your running back.
Alrighty. So yeah, anything else that you think we should hit on? I mean, there were a smattering of people that were missing practice this week. I mean, mainly it's veterans that are not practicing, but that's probably just maintenance days going to, you know, this week. So not a lot of stuff I think we should really talk about.
No, Hurts was the biggest one, and the other ones that you mentioned. That's.
All right, Tyler, let's go into, I don't think you have a bumper for this, but do you just want to talk about our betting results on the year?
Oh, I got something for it.
Ooh.
See, I don't remember, never do. Never.
There you go.
There we go. Never remember if we made a bet last week or not, but just give us a recap.
Oh, we sure did, and guess what? It was an interesting one. So if you recall, Blake, we were talking about CMC and how many points he would score, right?
Yeah.
And I think
I remember this now.
I think I set the line at like 26 and a half, something like that, and then basically moved it up for you. Moved it up to 30.
Yep.
CMC scored 30 on the dot.
Oh.
We tied. We pushed it.
Perfect.
Push City. So
overall, Rob has only placed 5 bets and has lost all of them because he's turned into a big fat bitch over the last half of the year.
I mean, I'm already down. Why?
Blake has placed 10 bets and is down $2.
Hey, that's not bad.
13 bets and I'm up $7.
Well, it helps when you win every single one that you placed against Rob, because I'm sure that's how it was.
Yeah, suck it.
Yeah.
Eat dicks.
All righty. Let's get into our short list of transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
Alrighty now. Like I said, short list, five players added to a team this week. Starting at the bottom, I've added the Buccaneers defense. Jesus, my brain did not want to say Buccaneers. It really wanted to say backdoor. It was like going to backdoor hot snakes. And I was just like, no, brain, we're not saying that.
Right. So this is a real sneaky ad because Arizona is starting Trace McSorley this week. Colt McCoy is already ruled out. And next week they have Carolina. So very sneaky ad. I don't know what you have set up already, but certainly.
So I've been riding the Cowboys defense.
Okay. Yeah.
And, oh, yeah. Okay.
And I'm playing the matchups here. And I saw that the Bucs are there with Trace McSorley in Arizona. Like you said, it's like, oh, come on, please. Let me get that for $0. No,
you're welcome. I dropped them because they have been like not good recently. If you look, I don't think they've scored better than 7 points in the last 4 weeks. So,
yeah, I mean, it's
good luck to you.
But this time of year, when there are this many injuries, it's worth playing the matchups.
There you go.
Let's see. Here's Tubby adds Zach Wilson after the Jalen Hurts news. So, and I was looking at Tubby's team. He also had Tannehill on his bench. So his quarterbacks were Jalen Hurts or Tannehill. So yeah, you got to add Zach Wilson. He's drops Tannehill for this. You know, so
I bet he wishes he still had Herbert.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, I alluded to that in the old Hurts thing.
Did you?
Yeah, when I said you traded a player that you thought, oh, I can just trade this away and I'll be set for the playoffs. Da-da-da.
Yeah, that went right over my head.
Imagine that.
Yeah, back to our hot snakes. I added Jahan Dotson. I was actually a little surprised to see him here on the waivers. So I added him, dropping Trent for Sherfield in Miami. So, you know, just as one of those Flyers rookies that might be a playoff sneaky winner. So
sure, why not, right?
Tyler Allgeier added to the Fly Eagles Fly for some reason.
Don't care.
And Zach Moss added to the Fantasy Reapers, $13 dropped on this. Fab doesn't matter at this point. Zach Moss getting what was it, 30 opportunities or something like that last week after Jonathan Taylor got hurt?
24 on the ground.
There you go.
So I don't know if you want to talk about Zach Moss at all, Tyler. I mean, he was traded away from Buffalo in the middle of the season. He's never been a very inspired runner when it comes to the ball, but I mean, what do you? Did I have a $0 bid in on it? Yeah, I did. I had a $0. I was just, you know, if I can grab the lead back in that backfield, it might help me. But I had no like real concrete confidence in Zach Moss.
Yeah, I mean, why I picked him up is real easy. They're playing the Chargers, who we've talked about all year as a run funnel defense, in a game where they're going to start a backup quarterback. If they're going to do anything, it's going to be on the ground. So, you know, it's either him or Deion Jackson. Deion Jackson was already picked up, and now I gave myself an option as a potential flex.
All right, that's it for transactions. This might be a kind of short podcast, but I think we're ready to get into El Matchupos.
Hang on, before you do.
Don't, what?
We don't have an over and under this week?
No, I already told you we don't.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay. Never mind.
I do think we might be going into an ad break, though.
Yeah, we'll go to Rob for this week's ad.
Hi, ladies. Do you need to have a beer when it's that special time of month? I mean, I know I do when it's my special time. So for ladies, it's Pabst Schmier Ribbon. That's right. When it's your special time, open up a cold Pabst. You know what a time it is. Pabst Schmier time.
Oh, my God.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
All righty. First up, just because it's first on my list on my screen here, we're going to talk about the in-division matchup of the Here's Tubby coming off of the first round bye at 11-3, the number two seed, playing against the backdoor Hot Snakes.
Ooh.
7-7 record, coming off a hot win, beating the Kegerator by almost 40. Or was it? No, it was almost 50. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Nate,
good work. You beat somebody who didn't even put up a fight.
Well, yeah. I almost didn't disrespect Nate enough, and I do feel truly sorry about that.
You should be, because he's like Sisters of the Poor in the playoffs. He's like me regular season this year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's how bad he is.
He deserves it, too.
I forgot. Blake, I had an over-under for you this week.
That's not how this works.
Oh, well, mid-game adjustment. Here we go.
Hello. This isn't how this works at all. I'm going on strike.
Just have a pass.
All right, so this week's over-under is called Nate Sucks a Lot. Nate Sucks a Lot, brought to you by that beer that Rob presented. the over-under for this week is, if we take a look forward at the next 10 years of the league, let's make it the next 12. So we would have been in the league for 20 years, because we're on year 8 right now.
Okay.
Over-under 0.5 championships for Nate.
Point a half.
Yep.
Oh man, my heart wants to go with under, but just by sheer numbers and statistics, it has to be over. Nate has to get a championship in the next 12 years.
Hasn't done it in the first 8.
Yeah, I mean, Blake said it perfectly. Sheer numbers says, God. I mean, the sun's got to shine on a dog's ass once in a while, right? So you'd think he'd get one in the next 12 years, but God, history just tells you he's a choke artist in the playoffs. So
What kind of futures odds are you going to give me if I take the under on this?
Ooh.
Oh, the under probably like, well, shit, futures are always higher. My initial thing was plus 250 for the under. But it's probably a little bit better than that. It's probably like plus 400. Because the over is probably like minus 225, right?
I don't know. I was thinking this has to be in the thousands. I mean, we're talking 12 years of fantasy football.
This is like asking in the next 12 years if the Texans are going to win a championship.
Ooh.
No,
they're not going to.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they could, because odds say, hey, who knows what'll happen in...
Tell you what. I'll take... Give me plus 500 on the under, and I'll take it.
Plus, sure.
Sure. There you go.
I'll give you, I'll throw a dollar on there, a 12-year bet.
Yeah, deal.
12-year dollar bet. Here we go. Mark it down.
Easiest dollar I've ever made. I'll just wait for 12 years for it. And when our robot overlords are, you know, still asking us for toenails and teeth for payment, I'll say, oh, here, I got a dollar.
Okay.
I'll be retired by then.
I won 165 of them last week, so.
Yeah, 12 years, I'll be 67. I'll be retired. That'll be awesome. Good retirement.
I'm pretty sure that math is wrong. In 12 years, you're going to be 97. And you're
now you're just being.
In 12 years, my gravestone will be 7 years old.
That's the spirit.
That's the spirit.
All right. What were the hell were we talking about?
Oh, playoff well, now matchup, we're done with right? that. Now we go back to matchup. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, in this matchup, with the sudden loss of Jalen Hurts, it swings the projections my way, projected 142 to Tubby's 130, basically 140. So it's actually a really, really close matchup here.
Very much so.
Here's Tubby is going to throw out Zach Wilson like he just acquired. They are home against Jacksonville. That's a Thursday night game. versus I have Josh Allen, who is in Chicago on Saturday.
So here's the problem with Zach Wilson is, yeah, he's a bad quarterback, but he throws for a lot of yards. He's not going to get touchdowns. He's probably only going to have one, but he's going to go over 300 probably.
Yeah.
And so if you're telling me, you know, if you're setting the over under for Zach Wilson at like 27 and a half, I'm like, well, fuck, that's probably over. And I mean, is Josh Allen going to have to do anything? Although I guess Justin Fields has kind of kept the Bears in games where quarterbacks have kept having to pass. So give me Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to go Josh Allen too. Mostly because Zach's on Thursday. Thursday's not a multiple touchdown passing night by any stretch. So, yeah, it's Allen.
Also, Jets-Jags on Thursday night just sounds like a 7-3 game.
Doesn't it? or 14-8.
It's something. It's like a 5-4 game.
Yeah. Or a high baseball score.
Yeah. Running backs here. The Tubby is going to have James Conner Sunday night, home against Tampa Bay, and Josh Jacobs at Pittsburgh Saturday night. Versus Derrick Henry, home against Houston Saturday at noon, and Devin Singletary in the same game with Josh Allen.
Well, we talked about the Yeti already in this podcast. He could easily outstrip Connor and Jacobs by himself if he gets two touchdowns and two Bills against the Houstons. So I'm going to have to give him to that. Even though I don't like Singletary at all, I'm going to go with Henry better than Connor and Jacobs.
I'll bet somebody Henry versus the other three running backs combined.
I won't take that.
No, because you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, this is Henry and Singletary easy.
Yeah. Receivers here gets a little bit uh-oh for me. It is Devontae Adams at the Pittsburghs in the same game with Josh Jacobs, and Donovan Peoples-Jones home against New Orleans. He's kind of been Deshaun Watson's favorite target since his return versus the Snakes. I have Mike Williams at Indianapolis on Monday night and Michael Pittman Jr. in the same game on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly scary to be Deshaun Watson's number one target. Pittsburgh is actually a good matchup for receivers, bad for everything else. So Adams should eat. Indy is a bad matchup for receivers, and I believe so are the Chargers. So give me Adams and Peoples Jones.
Boy. So I really hate Peoples Jones in the at Cleveland.
Because yeah, that's a very, very low over under.
The weather is supposed to be god awful in that game, from reports. And I just don't think there's going to be enough throwing for Peoples Jones to put up any kind of stat line. If he has 5 points, I'll be amazed. So to me, this has got to be Adams at Pittsburgh. By the time we get in the evening, you know, the weather should be cleared. But does he beat Mike Williams at Pittman in that same game? Yes, terrible matchups. And he I'm going to go Williams at Pittman just because it's two against one. Let's go.
All right. Tyler, you picked Adams and Jones, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tight ends. Mark Andrews has had a very somber latter half of the season.
Very much so.
They are playing Saturday at noon at home against Atlanta. God, my brain is literally dying in this podcast, and I don't know why. Dalton Schultz is my tight end home against Philly on Saturday afternoon.
Ugh. I hate both of these. Atlanta's the much worse defense, so give me the guy who, you know, I can pretty much lock in for seven targets.
Yeah, I mean, I'll lean Andrews here, but I would not be surprised if Schultz beats him.
Right.
Alrighty, flex positions. Jerry Jeudy at the Rams Sunday afternoon for Tubby and DeAndre Swift at Carolina on Saturday versus Zay Jones at the Jets on Thursday night and Christian Watson at Miami on Sunday.
I'll tell you what, I have no idea what the over-under is in the Denver Rams game, but I can almost guarantee you I'm taking the under. That's just a gross game.
Yeah, what a disgusting game. I've heard it said so many times this week. Imagine at the beginning of the year with all the hype we had around Russell Wilson in Denver and the Rams with their electrifying offense.
You would think this would be like a 40-30 game, right?
Yeah. This almost could be the Super Bowl. Like a projected Super Bowl Rams Denver.
At the beginning of the year? Hells yes.
And now it's the most depressing matchup that we have on the slate.
Yeah. But Judy's been solid so far. Swift has taken his job back, it seems, in Detroit.
Yeah.
Zay Jones, I'm nervous against that Jets secondary. I think the hot streak ends this week against the Jets, who 7 less points per game to opposing wide receivers. And Christian Watson, not a good matchup against Miami, although that's at Miami, so that's good. We'll probably have to score to keep up. However, in the first game with Romeo Doubs back, came back down to earth and was back in single digits. So obviously they tried to scheme him up to get him a touchdown at the end of the game, and he missed that. So that could be another one where he just got on Rodgers' shit list. So give me Judy and Swift.
Yeah, I think it's easy, Judy and Swift, especially when the Jets have shown that it doesn't matter. Number one, number two, number three receiver, whatever you are, you're not going to do well against the Jets. So, yeah, give me Judy and Swift.
All righty. Defenses, the Eagles defense at Dallas or the Bucs defense at Arizona with Trace McSorley.
So with this one, we kind of talked about the Bucs being a sneaky pick this week. The Eagles are a very good defense. I agree with what Parsons, he got in a little hot water a week or whatever ago where he said that he thinks the defense is the reason they're doing well, and I agree 100%. We'll find out this week. If they come into Dallas and beat Dallas, then it's the defense, and it has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts. Give me the Bucs here.
Yeah, this is really a battle of defenses where Philly's getting their points from getting sacks, 6, 7, and 6 the last 3 weeks, whereas the Bucs, you're hoping for turnovers. I don't know which one's more sticky, you know, or which one's one that you can predict a little bit more. Eagles, since the bye, have not had less than 3 sacks in a game. So I'm going to stick with the baseline that the Eagles have, although it wouldn't surprise me again to see the Bucs have a pick 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's have you guys go through the Tubby's bench and what options he has to mix in here, and then I'll break down my team.
I mean, as I'm looking, I'm just, you know, I don't want any part. He's staying out of the Christian Kirk game in that Thursday Jets Jacksonville, which I think is wise.
Well, if you don't like Peoples Jones, Kirk or DPJ?
Oh, well, hell yes, I'm going Kirk. Because okay. I want nothing to do with that that Cleveland game. I think Cleveland, New Orleans, let's just say that I have Hurts in Dynasty, right? I am not playing. I'm only playing one quarterback. I am not playing New Orleans quarterback because I'm afraid of that game. I think it's going to be a terrible 10-3 or some hot garbage game. So I don't want anything to do with that. So yeah, I would probably do that. The only caveat would be Darius Slayton. Now, he's slowed down the last couple of weeks, but he is the deep guy on the outside for the Giants, and they are playing at Minnesota, who is terrible on defense. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're missing your best player in Hurts. I would throw Slayton in there and say, let's go.
What about Mostert, Rob? In a game where I believe Jeff Wilson is not playing again, and Mostert
he was supposed to be returning this week.
Is he?
If he returns, that hedges it a little bit. If he doesn't, for whatever reason, you got to play him because Green Bay could not stop the run the other night, no matter how hard they tried. But God, who do you play him instead of?
Yeah,
you know. Tampa Bay hasn't been good, and you're playing Jacobs, and Swift, like you said, is kind of taken over. It's a, you know, Peoples Jones is an easy replace. Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you have options here for Tubby.
Yeah, you do.
And you can look at the Thursday game, especially with your quarterback. And if Zach Wilson is all of a sudden under that, you know, 27 and a half points, throw the fucking the long shots in there.
Yeah, throw Slayton in there, Mostert in there, and hope he, you know, scores most of the points. All that.
Yeah, so as far as my team goes, I mean, it's the same fucking tune I've been singing since, you know, week 12. It's a lot of question marks, especially in my flex position. My RB2 spot is obviously a little weak with Devin Singletary in there. It's either him or Cordero Patterson, but I hate the Patterson matchup at Baltimore. I mean, they're just going to keep pounding the ball anyway, so it might be okay. Otherwise, I have a bunch of running backs that I could throw in there for some upside touchdown upside with Josh Kelly, Dare, Ogunbowale, or Samaje Perine. Perine mainly probably with that passing work. As far as the receivers go, I actually really like Zay Jones this week. I know it's against the grain to go against the Jets defense, especially with how they've done against receivers this year. But in what, 4 of the last 6 weeks played of Zay Jones, he's plus 20 points in fantasy. I think, and Trevor Lawrence has been the number one quarterback in fantasy football in the last, I'm going kind of off the cuff here, but like in the last 6-7 weeks, Trevor Lawrence has been like number one fantasy quarterback. So I have a little bit of confidence that he's taking that step and he's able to, you know, actually maybe pick apart a little bit of this Jets passing defense. I'm probably going to turn out to be wrong there, but my other options here are like, you know, George Pickens is probably the biggest candidate to get into that flex. So, because they are playing against the Raiders. So I don't know. I don't feel super confident about it. It helps that Jalen Hurts is out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel great about my receivers and their matchups this week, whereas compared to last week where I had like the best matchups across the board for all of my players. So I'm going to go Tubby.
Whoa. Wow, okay. Am I rolling?
Of course you're rolling, but Tyler's going to give me his pick first.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, if Hurts was in, this would be easy Tubby. You know, the only reason why I'm not hammering Tubby is because I think the baseline you have with Derrick Henry is 40, right? And if you don't get that, if you don't get a 200-yard performance from Henry, I think you're in trouble. I think you're in big trouble. And the good part is you'll know right away on Saturday. But, boy, I think Tubby has a lot of different things he can do here. I'm also going to go Tubby.
Rob.
The dice. It's a 3.
That's also going to be.
They're going Tubby.
And it's up to you to break the queen sweep.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to have to go Tubby. I'm sorry.
All right. It's the queen sweep it is. All right. Our second matchup and last matchup of tonight's podcast is the number one seed, the Hawaiian Shakas at 13-1, hosting the Fantasy Reapers at 7-7. Currently, we're sitting at the Shakas at 145 versus the 142 projected for the Reapers. Both of these are really close matchups, Rob. Both are playoff teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or both are playoff matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one was 2. This one's 2. I mean, yeah, as well it should be.
All righty. So, quarterbacks here. We've got Pat Mahomes, a home against Seattle on Saturday for the Shakas versus Justin Fields home against Buffalo on Saturday at noon.
I mean, both of these are early Saturday games. Both of these are in the Midwest. Both of these are going to have some after effects of weather.
They're both outdoors.
Both outdoor stadiums, both cold as nuts.
So I will say the weather report for Saturday is the snow is supposed to dissipate in Chicago, but I don't think the snow is supposed to reach down to Kansas City as much as it does in Chicago in general. Both are going to be cold and windy, though.
Yeah, it's the wind that's the thing. Like Tyler said, if it as long as it's like not a foot of snow that's falling during the game, it's the wind that's the thing. And it's supposed to be windy throughout the Midwest, but like you said, more north than south. But the thing is, Justin Fields can negate wind by running for 100 and some yards. Seattle is such a terrible defense. I'm going to give the edge to Mahomes because he's Mahomes, but I will not be surprised. Buffalo's a good defense, but would not be surprised if they win a close game versus Seattle and their defense comes to play and Justin Fields runs all over Buffalo somehow.
Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to go Mahomes.
Seattle is actually a decent defense, also plays outside and in the north. So, I mean, the cold shouldn't affect them, you know, all that much. But I mean, neither should the Buffalo's defense. So
correct. Exactly.
Yeah. I do have a question for both of you.
Sure.
That's an easy one. I was gonna say, who has more rushing yards, Fields or Josh Allen, but it's probably going to be Fields.
Yeah. Yeah. Fields is on pace to break the, single season rushing record for a quarterback.
All right. Running back. We've got Nick Chubb carrying a questionable tag going into that Cleveland game. They are home against New Orleans, and Miles Sanders in Dallas versus Saquon Barkley at Minnesota. They are in a dome, even though it's Minnesota. And Christian McCaffrey also carrying a questionable tag. They are at home in San Francisco.
I mean, McCaffrey's going to carry a questionable tag rest of the year because they want to rest him, because without him, they probably don't do anything. I do like Miles Sanders against Dallas. We talked about it a little bit earlier about Dallas's defense, especially now at the middle. They've lost a tackle. They've lost one of their best run stopping linebackers. It's just not looking good for Dallas defensively, especially up the middle. Nick Chubb is the little thing here. He's got a foot injury and he missed practice the last 2 days. They have optimism he'll play, but you know, they don't really have much to play for in Cleveland, and why ruin, you know, in bad weather where it's going to might be slick field, ruin your best running back when you've got Kareem Hunt. So that's bears watching. As it sits, I'm going to take Barkley and McCaffrey because of that risk to Chubb.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I don't know how you actually feel that, Rob. I know you kind of broke it down, but I think it's Barkley McCaffrey relatively easily. The Sanders doesn't scare me quite as much as you're alluding to in Dallas. Dallas actually held ETN to a pretty good favorable stats for the defense, even though, granted, he's not really a between-the-tackles kind of runner, whereas Miles Sanders is. Yeah. I do think that Dallas will hold on and keep Miles Sanders to a –
I mean, he's only scored
minimal gain.
I mean, he only scored 14 against them last time, and they had Cooper Rush at quarterback. Dallas did, though. I think Dallas' defense was probably playing better then, but still, I get what you're saying.
So, I mean, let me do an impromptu over under for both of you guys. Miles Sanders at Dallas against their rush defense, over under. Let's go 12.5 points.
Over.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I would be over. I think he's like 18, something like that. I think this is one of the games he goes over 100.
Okay.
Yeah. And if he scores, then he's over 20.
Cool. Receivers, Amari Cooper in that shitty Cleveland game, and Garrett Wilson home against Jacksonville on that Thursday night versus the Reapers with CeeDee Lamb home against Philly, like we've been talking about, and Jaylen Waddle in Miami against Green Bay.
I like Lamb and Waddle. I already talked about, I don't like, even though Cooper's at home, I don't like the Cleveland New Orleans game at all, especially where they're playing. They're on that lakeside and there could be a lot of problems there. And then Garrett Wilson, this ain't Mike White throwing the ball. So yeah, give me Lamb and Waddle.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson coming down from that mountain when Mike White was in there, 32-29 and then 13 the last 2 weeks. However, for our scoring format, he was at 98 yards, just two more yards, and he gets a bonus points there.
Yeah.
So It's not the worst thing in the world. I do think Lamb and Waddle are going to, especially Lamb's going to, then they're going to have to go through the air in Dallas. So,
yeah.
Tight ends, Travis Kelce home against Seattle or George Kittle home against Washington. Actually an interesting tight end matchup probably the first interesting tight end matchup that was involving Kelce all year.
Yeah. I mean, because Kittle boomed last week, got 31 points. He had a combined 15 the last three, and he more than doubled that in the last game because of 93 yards and two touchdowns. Will he repeat that? I highly doubt it. And again, you're putting a lot of eggs in the San Francisco basket with both Kittle and McCaffrey. I realize they're different animals, you know, running back and a tight end, but you're expecting, you know, San Francisco to do really good things against the Slurs, and the Slurs have been playing good defense recently. So I'm going to give the edge to Kelce. I'm sorry. Have to, because yeah, he's deserved.
I'll give either one of you guys Kittle with a 10-point. Kittle plus 10.
I mean, I think that's right. I think that's about it. Right. I think that's right where it's at. I think Kelce beats Kittle by about 10, pretty close to that.
Rob, do you want to know this?
No, I don't want to know on that because I'm bad.
Yeah, so I'll take that for sure. I mean, looking at Kelce, like I said, the Seattle defense is
is the worst against opposing tight ends.
They've been better over as the year has gone on compared to Arizona, who has consistently been super bad, like very obviously bad against tight ends. But I mean, Kelce's coming off of a couple down weeks. Let me finish, Tyler. But the reason why this sways into and I like the plus 10 for George Kittle is Brock Purdy, as he gets more and more reins in this San Francisco offense. Charlie Kolar obviously doesn't start in the NFL currently, but he is on a tight end heavy team, and he's used to throwing to his big athletic tight ends. George Kittle is the same kind of archetype that Charlie Kolar was, that Brock Purdy spent 4 years throwing to in college. So I think he and Kittle continue to gain more repertoire between each other. And so I think he's in for a decent week for Kittle.
Since the bye week, Kittle has only been in double digits twice, and it was Arizona for 24 points and last week against Seattle for 31. So against the worst two defenses for tight ends, those are the only times he's actually produced.
Yeah, and since then, he's played against New Orleans and Tampa Bay, who are also very good short-range pass defenses.
Miami is the third worst, and he put up only 4 points.
I also didn't mention Miami, did I?
Nope. Washington is the third best against tight end. And so, yeah, I have no faith in Kittle.
Cool.
In fact, I'm considering benching him.
I can't wait till you're wrong, Tyler.
He would love you to be wrong.
But I have zero faith here.
All right, flex positions. Terry McLaurin at San Francisco, same game. And Jeff Wilson Jr., who is home in Miami against Green Bay for the Shakas, versus Ken Walker carrying still that questionable tag at KC, and Zach Moss home against the Chargers in Indianapolis.
This is super easy. It's Walker and Moss. We already talked about how Moss is had 24.
He's going to get a lot of work most likely here
against a terrible rush defense.
Yeah,
and Ken Walker should do fine against Kansas City. McLaurin is going up against isn't San Francisco the number one defense in the league right now?
They are, but they're middle of the road against wide receiver.
Fine, whatever. I still think they're going to murder the Slurs defensively. And Jeff Wilson, he's the wild card here. He's supposed to be coming back. I don't know what's going to happen here. Mostert had a really good game last week, I believe. So I don't know. Wilson's the weakest link here, as they used to say on that show. Give me Walker, Moss.
Jeff Wilson coming back with a hip injury. Supposed to be back this week. I just took a quick glance at the bench, and we can talk about that in a second. But there's other options for these flex positions for the Shakas. But I think Ken Walker is going to be fine. And your only question mark with Zach Moss is how much work does he cede to Deion Jackson? I think it's going to be pretty much a 50-50 split. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go Walker and Moss as well.
Alrighty.
All right, Rob. Defenses: Ravens against home against Atlanta, or the Chiefs home against Seattle.
Nope, there was a late switch there. It's the 49ers against Washington rather than the Chiefs.
Okay.
Oh, well, then give me the 49ers.
I mean, also the Niners.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Rob, let's break down the Shaka's bench here. So some of the pieces that I'm looking at that you can maybe find in there in your flex. I mean, Dawson Knox is a good choice here. You can double up on tight ends. He's kind of been connecting with Josh Allen more and more as the last half of the season has gone on. But then there's really two names here. And I'm looking at Terrace Marshall Jr. or DJ Chark. They're in the same game. The Carolina pass defense is better than the Detroit pass defenses. So that's why I would put Terrace Marshall over. But I think both these guys are valid.
I think you're right. I think those are the three that you have to look at. I believe I'm going to put TMJ as the third option here. So I would go DJ Chark, or I would go with Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox has gotten like 14 and 21, I think, the last two games, which for a tight end is like amazing. He's what he was drafted to be at the beginning of the year by yours truly, thinking that he was going to be an integral part of this offense. He didn't. He wasn't forever, and now all of a sudden he is. So, that coincides with problems in the slot. When you sign a Cole Beasley, you know you've got slot problems, and that's why they're going to the tight end now. So, I think you're right on, and I think it's those two.
Yeah. That's all I got. I mean, no other pieces here are going to break a lineup.
Correct.
So, Tyler, what are you looking at? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I have two main things that I could change. Obviously, we talked about the tight end. I have no faith in George Kittle, so I'm actually considering Daniel Bellinger at Minnesota or Isaiah Likely versus Atlanta. I think as Isaiah Likely gets more involved with Devin Duvernay having broke his foot in practice and being out 2 months. So now you are without your main outside guy, which has now been replaced by D-Jax, and your main slot guy. So, you know, I think the tight ends get a little bit more involved. Daniel Bellinger, I need to go look at snap counts and see if he was involved snap-wise. He didn't produce, I don't believe, the last couple of weeks. Last week, he was 1-for-4, but he played Washington last week, which I talked about. It was very good against the tight end. Philly the week before that, and then Washington the week before that. So since he's come back, he's faced some of the best tight end defenses across the league. So he could certainly be an option. And then it comes down to what my faith is in Zach Moss. I think everybody else is pretty locked in. I do have DeAndre Hopkins on my bench with Trace McSorley starting against Tampa Bay. The good part is that Hopkins is the Sunday night game and Moss is the Monday night game. So I can wait and see. If I need boom, then it's probably going to be Hopkins. If I just need something safe, it's probably going to be Moss. I'm also, you know, toying with Rashad White, same game or also Sunday night, in the same game as Hopkins. So that will be part of my decision as the day goes on.
Alrighty.
Since most of the games are on Saturday, I'll know most of the outcomes by then.
Yeah, that's a nice little benefit you have. So let's get into pick this quick. Rob, you're first, and then Dice, then Tyler, then me.
Oh, me first. Okay. This is a tough one, to be fair. There's a reason that the score is within what, 0.8 now?
Yeah, mine moved up to 144.
Yeah. It's really who do you believe is going to come through? I think the flex is the weak spot for the Shaka's here. I think the quarterback is close enough that I'm going to go with the Reapers just because I think this is a team of destiny. I think this is a team that underperformed most of the year, but at the end of the year here seems to have their shit in a row. If Kittle does terrible, like some people like Tyler thinks he will, then Shotguns are going to take this. But if Kittle puts up a decent fight, then Reapers will take it. I'm going to think he does. I'll take Reapers.
All right, what do the dice say?
Dice says Reapers.
Tyler.
Tyler says Shotguns.
And yeah. I'm going to even split it. I think it's going to be a very, very close matchup here.
It's going to be.
I mean, we went Queen Sweep on my matchup, but I think either of these could honestly come down to a coin flip. I mean, I have a very high ceiling when it comes to my matchup. Then it's more of a boom bust kind of potential for me. This is very much two teams that are probably going to follow each other in points. I think this is going to be decided by what the actual projection says it is. It's going to be within 5 points.
I believe you're right.
It's going to be one where after Thursday night, both of us are going to look at our lineups and adjust. After Saturday, both of us are going to look at our lineups and adjust. After Sunday, you know, if there's anybody left, we're both going to look at our lineups and adjust. You know, it's going to be one of those where it's going to be so close that who knows. But the other one we didn't talk about, Blake, that I just realized, Jonathan Taylor being out for me. My ankle sprain. So
we did mention it, but
yeah, we mentioned when we talked about Zach Moss.
That's true. Yep. But discussion for you guys. Sure. Does that count as a reaping for me?
I don't think so.
I mean,
so
I believe a little over half the games this year.
He missed half the games.
Yeah, you're right. He was injured and off and on all year. Yeah.
So with him being on IR, he'll miss 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. And in two other ones, he played partial. Obviously, Minnesota, he played one down. And then the Washington game, and maybe even the Tennessee game, he played partial. So
yeah.
By my count, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plus 2 half games.
I would say for a number one pick, yes.
Yeah, when you mentioned it to us in our group chat, I was only thinking on the IR movement this week. And at that point, no.
Right.
But yeah, taking into account all the issues he's had all year, and that's also kind of why, I mean, that's 100% why you've underperformed as a team. And right. Also what leads into why I'm leaning towards Shaka's here is, yeah, you've had Saquon, McCaffrey, and Taylor and Walker on your roster almost like most of the year, but you're still 7-7. So
yeah, well, because
I think you've
Saquon's tailed off. Walker was hurt for a while. Taylor. So yeah.
So yeah, add that to your column, Tyler.
Yeah, I need to go back and actually tally these up someday and make a headstone with all the different reapings I've had.
All right, that is it for our podcast tonight. Good luck to all the playoff teams, including myself and not Tyler. I don't know. I can't decide if I want you to win or lose, Tyler. Who would I rather face in the playoffs? Tyler's boom potential team or the Shockers who have dominated? I don't know.
So let me put this one to you. Would you rather it be me and you in the championship or neither of us make it?
What? One of you, at least one of you, or no. Neither of you?
No.
Both of us, or neither.
All or none.
Oh, all or none?
I don't, neither of us.
You would rather have neither of you?
I would say both of us, because...
Well,
okay.
I think both of us.
I think the most dangerous two teams left are Shaka's and Tubby. Obviously, they got the 1 and 2 seeds.
Sure.
So obviously, for me, if I get into the championship, I feel like I faced my biggest test.
Well, yeah, and then I'll feel the same way.
Right, right.
Sure.
Also, you'll have to look into this, and we'll have to talk about it next podcast if you remember. Have we ever faced each other in a championship? No. I don't think we have.
No.
I don't think we have either.
I don't think we have. I don't think there's never been a Tyler Blake matchup.
No. When you've won, I think it was me you beat, to be fair.
I've beat the Hogs before.
And the Hogs, yeah.
I've lost to the Hogs. Oh, I beat Chris
one year. So last year was Hogs over Snakes, Whitefish over Kegerator in 2020, Terry over Snakes in 2019, Whitefish over Freedy in 2018, Reapers over Greg in 2017, Whitefish over Keg in 2016, Tyler over Whitefish in 2015, and Blake over Whitefish in 2014.
There you go. I knew you beat me once.
Okay, so yeah, I beat the fish and I beat the hogs.
Oh, I loved all those whitefishes and all those things except the last 2 years. Boo.
So basically, every time Rob gets to the championship, Nate also gets there, and obviously Rob just waxes
him. Yeah, yeah, because he's not good.
Right.
All right, guys, let's get out of here for tonight. We'll talk to y'all next week, but in the meantime, have a good week, and hear you. Let's play us out.